It is interesting as to how the Islamic Front, of which Ahrar al-Sham is a part, was formed. It was comprised last November, according to this Wikipedia article, as a counter to the U.S.-backed Supreme Military Council. You see, the United States wanted to be able to supply weaponry to be deployed against Assad, and so it created this myth of the Free Syrian Army and then created a mythical Supreme Military Council through which they could supply weaponry. But the first thing that occurred is that the Islamist groups that were actually conducting the fight all said, we want nothing to do with either of these. We're in this because we're devoted to Allah and because we want to spread fundamentalist Sunni Islam. We wish to establish a Sharia-compliant state in Syria. We want to reestablish the Sunni caliphate. That is why we're in this. Your Supreme Military Council isn't about those goals. We have nothing to do with them. And as a direct result, the Nusra Front, the Islamic Front, was established specifically to counter the U.S. attempting to back a Supreme Military Council. Just shows the utter stupidity and the counterproductive nature of the U.S. government, its diplomats, and its military. Every time we touch anything in the Islamic world, we make bad situations worse. That is what occurred here. An Arab diplomat said the front was created by Qatar and by Turkey, who were trying to check an increase in Saudi influence with the rebels in 2013. So, combination of these two effects. One is the United States, whose principal ally is Saudi Arabia, who is supplying weapons to Turkey, and the United States was trying to make it look like, oh, we're supplying weapons to freedom fighters, to really good guys, as John McClown would say. But all it did was create a more fundamentalist Islamist organization and a unification of the Islamist organizations and a backlash against the United States supplying weaponry to Syria through Saudi Arabia to have Qatar and Turkey say, no, 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 you're getting way too powerful, too big for your britches, Saudi Arabia. Back down. And keep in mind, all of this is a direct result of America's stupid, counterproductive, suicidal, disastrous invasion of Iraq, where Iran's enemy, the principal enemy to Shia Islam, Saddam Hussein, was deposed, giving Iraq to Iran and dramatically increasing the influence of Shia Islam in not only Iran, but in Iraq, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Jordan, and even its influence as far west as Egypt. And so Saudi Arabia, who had purchased hundreds of billions of dollars worth of Americans' weapons, and Turkey, which was a NATO force, said, no, 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 we can't have that. We're the big bad dudes in this region. It's our region. We own it. We do not want the Shia Muslims trespassing in our world. And so this proxy war emerged. That's its history. Qatar, this is a quote, Qatar backs the Islamist Front and Ahrar al-Sham is part of it. It's, in fact, the largest component of it. It's an important part of the Islamic Front, so why wouldn't Qatar back it? An Islamic Front commander told Reuters by telephone. Diplomats say Saudi Arabia backs nationalist and Islamist groups that have no links to al-Qaeda. None of these organizations are controlled by al-Qaeda. You know, this particular group emerged from the Muslim Brotherhood and then emerged from the Salafist Muslims that were released from Syrian jails for having committed acts of terrorism. Now, we are about to delve into the Islamist Front itself, which is the umbrella group now over all of these independent jihadist organizations. And we're going to consider the individual they say is the most influential in guiding them. But keep in mind that this proxy war is not just an attempt of Sunni Muslims to thwart the advance of Shia Islam that was promoted by the United States invasion of Iraq, but also the Sunnis warring with Sunnis, positioning Saudi Arabia and Kuwait against Turkey and Qatar. Saudi Arabia is stepping up efforts to protect itself from jihadi influence at home while openly promoting the same jihadists inside of Syria. It is playing with fire. And Qatar and Saudi Arabia are at war with which fundamentalist groups they ought to be arming. Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain recalled their ambassadors from Qatar because they say that Qatar had interfered in their internal affairs, which is a reference to Qatar's support of Islamist groups inside of Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, and Bahrain that are opposed to the warlords that control these countries. Nothing has changed in Qatar's support for the Islamic Front. This is a quote. With all of its factions, including Ahrar al-Sham and the Islam Army, the Islamic Front commander said. Another Islamic Front commander told Reuters that Qatari financial backing has continued. Admirers of the Qatari policy affirm that members of the Islamic Front, including Ahrar al-Sham, have fought against the Islamic State in Iraq and Greater Syria, and which they now say is an Islamist splinter group. Now, the fact is that the Islamist State in Iraq was not created by al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda did not exist in Iraq at the time of the U.S. invasion. They had no influence there at all. Saddam Hussein was an enemy of fundamentalist Islam and of Islamic terrorism. There was not only no presence of al-Qaeda in Iraq before the U.S. invasion, Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein were mortal enemies. The Islamic State in Iraq was simply an amalgamation of Sunni warlords who sought to gain power in the vacuum caused by the U.S. invasion. But unfortunately, the U.S. invasion decided that it would give one person one vote and couldn't count, and ended up giving Iraq to the Shia Muslims in Tehran. The Grand Ayatollah al-Sistani, who is an Iranian mullah, played the United States, its diplomats, its politicians, and its military for fools. And so now the Islamic State in Iraq serves as a terrorist organization to terrorize its way to influence in what is now a Shia state. They say this realization that the Islamic State in Iraq and Greater Syria, this notion that it is an Islamic al-Qaeda splinter group, has only occurred because al-Qaeda has said, we have never had any influence over them. We have never had them be an affiliate of al-Qaeda, and we have no use for them. And so you look at what Osama bin Laden said of them, and what Ayman al-Zawahiri is saying of them, and you recognize that the Islamic State in Iraq and Greater Syria is not associated with al-Qaeda, never has been. It's not a splinter group of al-Qaeda. It is simply another fundamentalist Islamic terrorist organization. The only difference between the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and the al-Nusra Front is the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria has been around longer. It emerged during the American invasion of Iraq, and that most of its members are from Iraq, where the majority of the Mujahideen fighting for the Islamic Front are from around the world. And that organization was put together only in the last couple of years. They say that the group is fighting to replace Assad with Islamic rule and not seeking to participate in a transnational jihad against the West. Oh, so replacing a secular dictator with an Islamic government is a good thing? On what planet? Washington is a friend of Qatar because Qatar plays host to the most important military base in the Middle East. And it has close commercial ties and for years has worked with Washington in mediating conflicts around the world. It's actually worked with Washington in distributing munitions and all manner of weapons to create conflicts around the region. U.S. Treasury Undersecretary for Terrorism and Fighting and Financial Intelligence, David Cohen, in a speech in Washington, cited press reports that the Qatari government is supporting extremist groups operating in Syria. Why can't he just say Islamist? Is he incapable of telling the truth? To say the least, this threatens to aggravate an already volatile situation in a particularly dangerous and unwelcome manner. David Cohen of the Treasury Undersecretary for Terrorism and Financial Intelligence. Come on, pal. There's only two sides here. There's the Assad government side, which is in league with Hezbollah and Iran and is backed by China and Russia. And then there is the Islamic Sunni jihadist side. They are all fundamentalist Muslims. They are all terrorists. They are all jihadists. They are all ruthless fundamentalists. How could dealing with any of them make this situation more volatile unless it's what the United States has wanted and has done, which is to continue to arm them? Welcome back to Shattering Myths. Since these various terrorist organizations have merged to operate under a unified title, the Islamic Front, the old name al-Nusra Front and Jabhat al-Nusra has gradually faded from the headlines. But since this is the umbrella under which these organizations are now operating, the name of the group that emerged to be the most vital, to be the most aggressive, to be the most effective in fighting the government, the secular government of al-Assad, it's important that we study who they are and who they are receiving their guidance from. It's called the Front of the People of Greater Syria. The group announced its creation in January of 2012 during the Syrian war. Since then, it has been described as the most aggressive and most successful, or at least one of the most effective rebel groups in Syria. The group has been designated as a terrorist organization by the United Nations, by the United States, by Australia, and by the United Kingdom. In April of 2013, the leader of the ISIS, the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria, released an audio statement announcing that Jabhat al-Nusra was its branch operating in Syria. The leader of al-Nusra, Abu Mohammed al-Jalini, responded by denying that any merger had taken place. This resistance group is generally described as being made up of Sunni Islamist Mujahideen. Its goal is to overthrow the Assad government and to create a pan-Islamic state under Sharia, the moral and religious code the law of Islam. And it aims to reinstate the caliphate. It encourages all Syrians to take part in the war against the Syrian government and to adhere to these ambitions. In an interview with a United Arab Emirates newspaper, the leader of the Islamic Front, Abu Ahmed, a man identifying himself as the al-Nusra military commander, described the organization's goals as deposing Bashar al-Assad and then establishing a state of Islam ruled by Sharia. In early 2014, a top Sharia official in the group, Dr. Sami al-Oridi, acknowledged that his group is primarily influenced by the teachings of Abu Musab al-Suri. The strategies derived from Abu Musab's guidelines to win the hearts and minds amongst local Muslim communities include providing services to people and to avoid being seen as extremists. Members of the group are accused of attacking religious beliefs of non-Sunnis in Syria, including the Alawites. New York Times journalist C.J. Shiver cites, quote, some analysts and diplomats, end quote, as noting that al-Nusra Front and also the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, quote, can appear less focused on toppling the Assad government than on establishing a zone of influence spanning Iraq's Anbar province and the desert areas between Syria, and eventually establishing an Islamic territory under their administration. Members of the group have referred to the United States and Israel as enemies of Islam and have warned against Western intervention in Syria unless it is to provide them with the weapons that they desire. Now let's take a look, now that we know the nature of this organization, what their goals are, who they view as their enemy. It's interesting that America would be arming an enemy of America. Let's look at the individual, this Abu Musab al-Suri, and what he has written so that we understand the influence, the persuasion of these particular jihadists. Well, he was born as Mustafa bin Abd al-Qadir Setmariam Nassar. We'll just call him Nassar for short. He, according to Wikipedia, is a suspected al-Qaeda member and writer. Yeah, the truth is actually far more interesting. He was held, or he has held, I should say, Spanish citizenship since the late 1980s, following a marriage to a Spanish woman. He is wanted in Spain today for the 1985 El Descanso bombing, which killed 18 people, and in connection with the 2004 Madrid train bombings, where 191 were killed. To Shattering Myths, you can join this discussion by calling 877-300-7645. Glenn has done so, and I suspect has a comment that is germane to the subject of the Islamic Front and this really fine, upstanding fellow named either al-Suri or Nasser, depending if you like his given name or taken name. Good morning, Glenn, or afternoon, depending on where you may be.
Good afternoon from the mid-Atlantic of the East Coast. As I listen to you speak of these personages and groups and movements and that sort of thing, I can see in my mind's eye the whole geopolitical picture coalescing over time. And what it seems to me is that over the next 12 years or so, it must necessarily be the case that the present style, philosophy, and values exemplified in the person of Vladimir Putin with regard to Russia must necessarily be displaced by a more malignant, malevolent, vehement, and violent ideology favorable to militant Islam such that it could function as the hooks in the jaw that drag Russia and the surrounding republics down against Israel.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that all of that is true, but it's worth our discussion.
The present philosophy wouldn't seem to be so inclined.
Yeah, let's speak about it a little bit here. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that I enjoy discussing the actors and the groups that they have formed in the Syrian war is, even though they are despicable, even though they are reprehensible, what it does demonstrate is the reprehensible and despicable nature of America's government and its military and its diplomats for arming them and supporting them. And it also demonstrates the goals and ambitions of Islam, which are going to have a huge influence on the world going forward. So the first part of what you said, I concur with completely, that in understanding who these players are and what they want and who their allies are in the West, we get a real clear picture of where the world is heading and what the geopolitical and military environment is going to be like over the next dozen years or so. So we're in complete agreement there. Now, as it relates to the Muslim population of the Caucasus region of what was previously the USSR and now is comprised, with exception of the Chechen region, of independent Islamic countries, all with a stan after their name, I do not think that Putin's style of being opposed to Islam has to prevail for tens of thousands of Muslims to leave the Caucasus region and to come to war against Israel. Now, that isn't to say that there aren't a lot of Muslims in Russia, apart from the independent Turkmenistan and other countries that were formed when the USSR failed. So I'm not so sure that Putin has to change for them to engage in what will be the greatest of the three jihads. It was a great jihad in Afghanistan. There was a great jihad now being fought in Syria, and the ultimate jihad would be the one that's brought to bear against Israel. Why do you think that Putin that Putin's kind of strong leadership needs to go away for them to engage?
I'm saying that my perception of him is that he is a Russian nationalist,
mm-hmm.
and that when everything shakes up, this is going to be, it's the globalists don't want any strong nations, nation states, national monetary systems or anything like that. Everything's got to come under this compromise of, the globalists. And so I anticipate that he himself will be displaced.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I agree with that. To this extent, I agree with that. Putin is a nationalist. He's not a globalist. Obama is a globalist, not a nationalist. A nationalist is someone who values the citizens of their country first and foremost and is really only concerned with the citizens of their country and will tamper in the world at large only when it has a significant influence on the fate of the citizens of their country. I mean, I would rather have a Putin than an Obama, for example. Now, as the New World Order coalesces under a singular economic system and perhaps even under a singular military in the future, it is true that for that to happen, you could have to have a internationalist as opposed to a nationalist as the head of one of the world's most powerful nations, Russia. The question then becomes, is that going to occur? China is the same thing. China is really more nationalist than it is internationalist in its focus. But this is something I think, Glenn, that is interesting. While we know that there is going to be an international currency and we're going to have significant influence from an individual who is going to come out of a small, relatively new nation like Macedonia, and is going to then pull together a couple of more of these small, newly formed nations, and then bring another seven into his coalition, is going to have influence in the world. Whether or not we end up with a unified one-world government, one-world economic system, or just that this is the move we have towards economic systems, and we still have the United States, Europe, China, and Russia as the most powerful players still vying against each other, I don't know if that's really clear. We could still, I mean, I suspect, and reading about Yanawa's condemnation of the United States as an antagonist during the tribulation, I suspect that, you know, there's probably room for Russia and China to continue to be nationalistic while the United States and Europe are nationalistic, don't you think?
Well, sure, and especially, and attitudes, like right now we have all these international enclaves of so many different kinds, whether UN or EU or G8 or whatever, mm-hmm. 20, you name it, Davos. This like trying to form this consensus internationalism. However, if some mega seismos type things ensue that greatly debilitate one region or another and provide for weakness and opportunity, allow for opportunism to be expressed.
Right.
You know, think, oh, maybe we don't have to be so consensual. They're kind of weak and tied up at the moment with all their natural disasters.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go ahead and do this.
Yeah, well, there's going to be some major events in the world, and you've mentioned one of them. Let's speak of some of these major events that are going to polarize the world and going to make the world very different than we experience it now. One of those major events is that Syria is going to fall, and that the jihadists who have prevailed in Syria are going to do two things. Many of them, tens of thousands of them, are going to go back to Europe, the Americas, to Africa, to Asia, and they're going to perpetrate vastly more devastating Islamic terrorist assaults on those countries than we witnessed after the return of the jihadists from Afghanistan and the great jihad that took place against the former Soviet influence in that country. That's one. And that's going to have enormous effect and ripple effect throughout the world. Number two, we're going to witness a more than 100 million and probably upwards of 150 million Muslims from around the world, from the 50 majority Islamic states comprising the vast preponderance of this, but also jihadists from every country around the world, are going to flood into Israel for what they will call the Great Jihad. And Yahweh is going to have to intervene because Israel will no longer be able to defend itself from such a tidal wave of terror. And
five-sixths of the invading army destroyed.
Yeah, so can you imagine the world events when God himself, who is was in opposition to really every country on earth, intervenes to blow away a army comprised of more than 150 million Muslims? And talk about changing the playing field. Now, at this time, Yahweh, we know, directly condemns the United States. So things we have done up to this point, things we're going to do from that point on, are an extraordinary irritant to the creator of the universe. Not a very good position to be in if you're in the United States. But we know that the United States at that moment still exists because Yahweh is issuing a warning against this country. And we find that in the opening lines of Yahshua Isaiah 18. Now, what you've mentioned is also going to provide for great destabilization. There's going to be megaseismos. Megaseismos means great shaking and movement to and fro. It speaks of massive earthquakes that will bring down cities. It speaks of tornadoes and hurricanes and tsunamis would all be classified as megaseismos. It's going to devastate a number of places around the globe. But we also have two other things that are going to occur in the midst of the tribulation that will be disoriented and devastating, landscape changing. We the side of, or maybe even the sides of, volcanic islands fall into the sea, creating great tsunamis. The two most serious of those, one is off the coast of Spain, the other is Kilauea in the eastern side of the big island of Hawaii. If those were to happen, the west coast and the east coast of the United States would be gone.
Or El Hierro on Cumbre Vieja, the Canaries.
That is correct. That is the one. And then there, according to Yahweh, in the midst of the tribulation, Apophis, which is called by science MN2004, which is the most serious asteroid consideration that has ever been depicted. God says that it's going to impact, and he didn't tell us where, but it wipes out much of the world's shipping capability. So you have the Middle East and the Islam torched. You've got two enormous tsunamis. You have earthquakes galore. You've got an asteroid strike. Oh, the world's going to be a very different place in about 15 years. So stay with us, Glenn. We'll talk more about where all of this is leading and why it's important for us to know when Shattering Myths continues after the break. Welcome back to Shattering Myths as we're discussing the characters that are playing a significant role in our brave new world. We have stumbled upon the inspiration for the Islamic Front, which is the most vicious, the most effective, and the largest of the rebel groups fighting Assad, and come to find out that their inspiration is Musab al-Suri, also known as Nasser. In addition to being targeted for having inspired the Del Conso bombing and the 2004 Madrid train bombings, collectively killing well over 200 people, he is considered the most articulate exponent of modern jihad and its most sophisticated strategist. Yeah, can you imagine being considered the most sophisticated strategist of terror? What a delightful honor. I'm sure this would be a really fun man to be around. Nasser, wait till you hear it. I mean, there's so much. We're not going to get it all done, Glenn, in this segment. And we're going to return to this tomorrow. I hope you join us tomorrow, because this is really an interesting character. Nasser was captured by Pakistani security forces in 2005. And he was given over to Syria, where he was a wanted man. And so the Pakistanis had him. The Syrians had him. The United States CIA even had him in custody. They all let him go. Here's a little more history on this charming fellow. He was born and grew up in Aleppo, Syria. He attended 4 years of university studies, where at the University of Aleppo's Department of Mechanical Engineering, he was a student. Can you imagine wasting a mechanical engineering degree by becoming a terrorist? In 1980, he joined the Combatant Vanguard. That sounds like a lovely peace-promoting organization, doesn't it? The Combatant Vanguard. It was an offshoot of the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood, which was at the forefront of the Islamic uprising in Syria against the Assad regime. It shows once again that if you want to trace back the root of almost all Sunni Islamic terrorist organizations, they fall directly in the lap of the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, Glenn, that should be a concern, because guess who is a huge proponent of the Muslim Brotherhood? One, Barack Hussein Obama, and also his former Secretary of State, Hillary Rodham Clinton. I mean, they negotiate with them, they speak on behalf of them, they uplift them, they promote them. And Obama was devastated when the Muslim Brotherhood was overturned in Egypt, devastated. I mean, his first comments, the President of the United States saying that the military had to return the duly elected president and officials back to power. He was devastated.
And presumably then to the Ukraine as well.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, we're going to start putting back duly elected people. I think Yanukovych would have to be put back.
Why would you want to be consistent?
He may be a bastard, but he's their bastard.
That's the case. This fellow was at the forefront of the Islamic uprising in Syria against Assad. So Muslim Brotherhood and anti-Assad, one and the same. As a matter of fact, the primary thing that changed in Egypt that caused Sisi to overthrow militarily the popularly elected government in Egypt of the Muslim Brotherhood, is that the Muslim Brotherhood said that they needed to use their military to aid and abet the Sunni jihadists that were fighting the Assad regime, because they looked at it as a proxy war where they could thwart the advances of Shia Islam and establish the caliphate. That is the speech that brought Mercy down. The Egyptian military did not want to deploy in Syria. Continuing this story, Nasser, as he was born, was forced to flee Syria at the end of 1980. He then joined the Syrian Muslim Brotherhood organization in exile, receiving training at their bases and safe houses in Iraq and in Jordan. He is reported to have participated in the uprising of Hamas in 1982. He immigrated to France and later to Spain in the 1980s. Glenn, this is a fellow that I wish to continue to review because he is the spokesperson for fundamentalist Islam jihadism. And we will return to him in the first hour of our program tomorrow, but as we have 1 hour left, let's turn to a more interesting topic. Let's listen to what Yahweh has to say about these kinds of individuals and about this time. We'll be back in a moment.